Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
People want to know why you don't drink.
Yeah. And they think you're only, crazy if you don't.
Well, there's only two reasons that you don't drink, right? You're boring, you're too much fun, yeah. Right? It's either
alcohol just never really agreed with me,
yeah. Or I fucked a badger. It's that is it. Those are the only two reasons.
It would end the conversation quite quickly, which I quite like.
Yeah. Ask me again.
Sure. And also, by the way, but I just want to say I appreciate you talking about that because I imagine how hard it is for you to talk about these things, and it's boring for you, I imagine, because it's all that happens.
It's not boring.
No, it's not boring, but talking about the stuff that
did
happen.
It's scary. You go, oh, am I going to... You do go, oh, am I going to be... Is there going to have a story about me and I'm going back to it? There's that, but it's fine.
How has your comedy been since you're sober?
The comedy is much better.
Really?
The comedy is much, much,
writing, much confidence better. On stage, everything?
Or every aspect of it is better, but by so much.
Because I said this before you sat down, and we have a lot of friends in common in the comedy world, and yes. I that's the world that I wish I had the confidence to go into, like, it's never had. And they all say, all it's true, and I've said this, and I'm going to say it, I know it'll probably embarrass you, but I do want to say it. All your comedian friends say the best comedian that they know
is Romesh.
It's Romesh, yeah.
They all say it. Yes. When talking about you. Yeah, it's
really, you agree. Yes, yes.
But they all say the best comedian that they know is Sean Walsh. And you said quite rightly,
you're doing the Matt Hancock laugh. Yeah. Uncomfortable.
No, but it's true. But also, I want to. You did say a very good thing. You said, Sean, the really annoying thing is that within the comedy circle, I'm really respected and people love me, and it's amazing. They think I'm a great comedian. Outside of that, I'm. People don't know that.
I actually said this. Outside of comedy, I'm underrated.
But that must be
also very modest.
Yeah, but that very must be modest, so though. Frustrating at times, right? As well, because you.
I think that I was on. I started comedy, just turning 21, and I was on telly. I think by the time I was 23, to get really any good at it, it would take about 10 years.
Mm. What were you doing at 23?
Stand up.
No, but as in, what were you on telly? You're doing Apollo and things like that.
Mock the Week and stuff like that.
God.
Yeah, and so, you know, I did not have a fucking clue what I was doing. Not a clue. And I got a lot of big jobs that I was no way ready for. Like, just what? Wow. You look back, you're like, what are you? And it's scary now because I'm 37 now. I'm at an age where if I meet someone that's 24, I'm like, I look at them and I'm like, I can't believe what I was doing at 24. Oh my God. And I was not really ready. So I think, and of course I tell myself this, I think you can only make a first impression once. And I was making a lot of those first impressions too early on in my career. Mm. And I, of course I think, God, if I just held back, if I just held back and then done something on telly, and you know, when I'd been going 10 years, I'd be fucking huge.
Wow.
What do you think? You're like, you look at me like, I don't think so.
Yeah. I really don't think it would have worked out. But
no, it's a cute thought.
But I, that's...
You know the way you tell the...
That's insane.
These are the excuses I'm coming up with. Yeah. Not just... It might just be because you're a bit of a cunt.
It's funny that people say in comedy that it takes 10 years to become good. But then why are you getting opportunities?
Usually.
Yeah.
It seems to have sort of changed in terms of like propulsion.
I could sound like such a cunt.
No, John, you don't.
I could see it.
Are you joking? Oh my God, you're not. You're sounding so great.
Okay.
I swear to God.
All right.
And also what's so good is you're being truthful and honest. You know, Joanne McNally, take it for example. There we go.
Mad as a chair.
Yeah. She's amazing, right?
And
she's
amazing, incredible. One of the most naturally gifted stand-up comedians you will ever meet.
She's just so good. I was speaking to probably a mutual friend, Tom Lucy, right? Yeah. Tom Lucy, great guy.
Yes.
He says what Joanne McNally has nailed, rightly or wrongly, is that she was doing the circuit and whatever for 10 years, maybe longer. And she was doing great and stuff like that. She then gets a hit podcast.
Yeah.
She blows up absolutely massive, but she's refined it. So she has blown up. And so she is ready to go on stage in front of stadiums and whatever. And she has had that experience all the entire time. So she's a 10-year, 12-year, 15-year comedian.
Yeah.
And so she's ready for it all. And actually, sometimes you get hit with opportunities too early.
Yeah.
And that's quite
That's the story I tell myself. You know, we don't know the parallel universe, but yes, I think, I do, you know, you on Instagram, the stand-up clips I posted from my DVD, right? DVD. And I see some of the clips that I'm posting on my own Instagram and thinking, this is shit. What the fuck was this? It was on DVD. It's rubbish.
But I think also...
Why are you posting it?
Because I've got nothing else to post.
But
it's new content.
I know.
Should we make some clips now?
Sean. But also with your comedy, Sean, I want to read this thing, right? So, you know, you go through all of this hard time, your comedy becomes this thing that you're kind of not being yourself and all these different things. And then The Guardian has described you as the best observational comedian of his generation. The Edinburgh Awards nominees' last UK tour, show after this one, I'm Going Home, ended with a standing ovation around the country.
Oh my God.
There we go.
Yeah, it's true. I just want to say that. So... You're obviously doing something right for sure with all those things. And what's amazing, it feels like, is that you have, life started so quick and so fast. You went into this moment that kind of knocked you back, but you've now come back into knowing yourself better. So actually what happened to you in your past, what's happened with all these things that's happened actually is a blessing. You stop drinking, your comedy's better, all this stuff, you know yourself.
I have a family now.
You have a family, you've had a kid, you've just had a baby.
Yeah.
You got a beautiful girlfriend, all this stuff, you know. And so actually all the stuff that hit you is probably the best thing that happened to you in a weird kind of way.
There is that.
No.
I mean, that is a massive philosophical kind of quandary, isn't it? You know, but obviously... You know, I did exactly. I met my partner and we've had a baby and life is good and comedy is good and yeah. It's still, I don't know, it's like that. So would you just that means you have to go through that again.
would you go through that again?
Well, now yes, absolutely. Because I have my daughter.
Strictly is coming soon next year. So.
Yeah. Go back.
Round two.
Best off. But no, I've got a daughter. Best off.
Sorry, I want to.
I was underrated. Where did you come again?
I got to the final.
What?
I got to the final.
Well done.
Yeah.
Bloody well done.
Yeah, I just resilient. Yeah, I just kept going.
It's amazing.
It's hard, that show. But
I bet my did you do Paso Doble?
Yeah.
I bet mine was better.
Mine was unbelievable.
Did you use yours in the final?
No.
What did you do for the final?
For the final, I did.
I don't care about this. I'm a paso doble.
I did like a salsa and a break dance thing, and then I did something else. So you're saying, because you got your daughter and you've got your life now and all the things, you would go through all of that again to get where you are.
You would, yes, because you would have because you would, otherwise you wouldn't have your daughter, which would.
Yes, it's yeah. What question? This is nearly as good as my first question I asked you. You know,
so would you go back and do all of that again, or?
Sounds like you'd ask Liam Neeson. You will lose your daughter. I'll do it all again.
I want to ask you a few more things. So comedy, just before we get on to your family and daughter, because that's just amazing. With comedy, you used to go to these comedy clubs in Brighton, 17 years old. You used to walk in there, you used to watch the comedian by yourself.
Is that where you're from?
Yes. Brighton.
Yeah, you used to do these things. That's
what do you think?
No, it's a lovely place. I grew up not too far away, near Chichester. So kind of same ends.
Really quite far.
It is quite far, actually. Now that I've sort of brought it to light on the podcast.
They're on the coast. They're both on the coast?
It's relatively coastal.
It's not even on the coast.
It's not even on the coast.
Okay, it's not on the coast.
You can get there in half an hour. We used to go down occasionally.
Okay. On the weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But I want to ask this.
Glad that we bonded over that.
Yeah. Any more questions?
You've got legs, I see.
Wait, hold on. I want to ask you this question. Because comedy is interesting, right? Like, you go to these comedy clubs, you see these comedians, and because you've been seeing comedy in itself and different comedians, that would typically lead you to going, okay, fine, I'm going to create a character. And that's actually the bad thing to do. Comedians, typically, at the beginning of their journey, they start trying to be a character, and they find out, well, that's not quite me. With you, you do observational comedy, and you're very good at it. That suggests that you haven't gone down the route of creating characters within your comedy. You're very much authentic to yourself, which is hard to do at the beginning.
Well,
do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. So you talk about like personas.
Yes, and all exactly.
Those, in stand-up they're called. And I think there was a persona that I was trying to, develop. And then what happened. And I've kind of alluded to the fact that it then made it very difficult to go and do my act. That's what I call it. Mm-hmm. It's my act, mm-hmm. right? How can you do your act now when all anyone is thinking about is that? And I can't address that as the act because they don't know it's an act. They think that the person that's just come up is the person that also did that. Mm. And they're kind of different. So what I had to do then is just address that head on as me. And that's what I did in the YouTube special called Kiss. And then the follow-up show, which was called Sean Walsh is Dead, Happy Now. Very upbeat show.
Yeah.
But that was about, you know, it's got a continuation of that, about my dad's, a heroin addict.
And your dad was?
Yeah. My whole life.
Hold on, let's start this podcast again.
Fuck, was that in the notes?
Where's the research? What's going on?
Fucking heroin addict. Shit.
That wasn't in the notes.
Fuck's sake. Mention of heroin, are we joking? That's going to clickbait for days.
Why the fuck are they being...
So my dad, this is just story. My dad, and I tell this in the show.
So no wonder addiction and all the chaos.
Chaos. But and I talked about this in the show, and and this was my upbringing. It's mine and my brother's upbringing. He was once so off his face that me and my brother were playing FIFA 97
class
on the PS1.
Great, yeah.
Right? Indoor court or the outdoor one? Because you could play.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Well remembered. Kind of grey indoor court.
Yeah.
And I always thought it should be wood.
Yeah. Sometimes I think one of them was wood. Maybe later on.
A wooden football pitch.
Maybe that was. I've just dropped the dad was a heroin addict. Yeah, but what was the flooring?
What type of
which
wood
way
was
were the slabs of wood? Was it royal oak?
Oh, boo-hoo.
David Ginola on the front.
Yeah, class. Right,
okay.
Yeah.
So me and my brother played FIFA on the PS1 and we're on one sofa. My dad was on the other sofa and he thought he was watching Match of the Day. Do you remember the graphics of a PS1?
You're joking.
I'm not. Fucking hell, I can't believe QPR playing QPR.
Where is he from, Brighton?
Spain. He's from Spain, can't you tell?
There's fucking strong Skag back in the 90s, Jesus.
Skag?
That's Spanish.
It's called
Skag. No, he's spot on.
It's called Skag.
Skag, smack. I love that you're laughing at this. The name.
Sean, hold on. That is chaotic as a child.
Yes.
When did you realise that... When your dad was taking...
Probably that day.
No, but when did you realise...
Maybe this is an issue.
Yeah. But John, when do you realise that your dad is an addict or was it always normal for you? When do you suddenly go, oh, hang on a second, something's not right here at home?
Me and my brother knew from an early age that there was this thing that he did, that he smoked, by the way. Smoked it. He didn't inject in front of us. And he didn't anyway, but he smoked it. And he would smoke it in front of us. We knew there was this thing that he did. And if he did that, he was in a good mood and we would get pocket money. So he would come home from work and you'd be able to tell through the silhouette in the stained glass window on the front door. You could tell even by what his posture was doing, whether he had had it or hadn't had it. And you would see if he was bouncing up and down like that. It's like, dad's in a good mood. Dad's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't, then you didn't really, he just went upstairs and he went to bed and had his come down and that. And so you've got this it was like two extremely different people from two extremely different ends. You've got to understand, as I say in the show, that was my normal. I loved my childhood. I don't look back at my childhood as this difficult, abusive time. When it would become an issue was really as I got older. And when I started comedy, you know, comedy is what's so beautiful about it when you join the business is that there's an anyone's allowed in policy. And it doesn't matter what class you are, what color you are, what gender everyone come in. Now there might be difficulties with, you know, where you can get in it, but the bottom level, everyone's welcome. Come on it. But it was just then meeting all these different people from all these different walks of life. And it became apparent that this life that I had led as a child and growing up is not normal. And this is not what, you know, and I couldn't identify. I sometimes think that doing, as people call it, observational comedy and that trying to connect with the audience was always me trying to try and be like other people because actually I wasn't. And actually I'd had a different...
normal.
Yeah, and to try and go, you know that thing that we do? And everyone laughs. You go, oh yeah, thank God I am like other people.
Wow.
That's all about.
That makes so much sense.
That connection. I think all creation is really, you create to then get that feedback and you go, oh my God, I'm part of...
It's so fun.
It's
so fun sharing and connecting and laughing over that thing that you both understand, that you both have in common. That's what it is. And actually, as I got older, I think I felt that in real life, less and less. Like I'm not like these people. So we didn't have a table. Did we? You know, we never sat around a table. We never ate dinner around a table.
We just eat on your lap.
Eat on the lap. Eat a plate up into the bedroom. There wasn't a table where the family sat. There was a little coffee table that my dad would use to smoke spliffs and heroin, but there wasn't that kind of that sense of family that you think of in a traditional sense. We all have our own intricate, complicated way of loving each other as a family. Of course we do. And QPR, my football team, was a massive part of that. You know, my dad, that was the one constant, that was the one thing I felt like my dad did that dads do, is he took us to QPR.
He must have been very confused about how the season was going. He's pretty sure they won 7-0. Like, dad, that was FIFA. Just to let you know now.
Yes, you're right.
But that was the constant.
That was the thing that I... And it's no coincidence, I think, then. Or maybe it is. But then when I moved to London, when my manager said, you've got to move to London, I moved to Shepherd's Bush, got myself a QPR season ticket. I buy my brother's QPR season ticket. And we go, that's mine and my brother's thing, is that. And it was that's probably the thing I identified as... as being that sense of family and trying to continue that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So then going into comedy, you must have felt that connection because it is a very family sort of area. You get accepted in.
Oh man, when you go, when you join comedy, I don't know if you have this in any other line of work that you've done, but when you start comedy, you're like, here are my freaks.
Mm.
They're just the misfits of the world, all coming together, all weird and odd and peculiar in their own way. And it all binds us, and it's just that it's this happy. It's such a the best time, you know. And I've done Apollos, I've even done the O2, not my own show, but been part of the I've done the O2 shop. No, but I did the gala and stuff like that.
Broke onto stage.
Yes,
I'm not dead. It was a joke.
But the. But the beginning is was the best bit. I still think that. It was all the unknown, and it was all ahead of you. It was the most exciting, best time of my life.
It's amazing because what we're all doing as humans is kind of seeking connection, weirdly, and it's wherever we find that in our lives in whatever way. We're seeking a connection and purpose, and it's amazing that you found that in comedy or football, right? That's where you found that kind of sense of family. Because it wasn't there when you were younger.
Yes. And I'm saying possibly. What I think. You know, I think that would... That's kind of... If you told me that, I would kind of put that... You know, you go, well, so hang on. The only thing your dad did that was kind of representative of the traditional kind of family values of a father taking... The only thing he did was taking you to the QPR game. And then when you could move to London, you move to QPR and you buy your brother's season ticket and you go to QPR. It doesn't... kind of adds up, doesn't it? Yeah. You go, that sounds like...
Mathematically.
Yeah.
If we were to take all emotion out of it, which it clearly is quite an emotional thing, you're like, let's just make it purely numbers.
That, yeah.
2 plus 2 equals 4. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on.
Yes.
So you now got your beautiful daughter. How has life changed becoming a dad?
Well, it's only been 3 weeks.
Yeah, but I still...
3 weeks?
Yeah, literally 3 weeks.
Congrats.
And I've abandoned her to come here.
Yeah, fuck. Terrible father. Have you not learned?
I've really noticed... My life has not changed that much. I've noticed I've spent a lot more time in lifts than I used to.
Because you have a pram. Intentionally. Oh, right.
Because you have the pram.
Oh, okay. So
you have to get a lift instead of just use the stairs or the escalators.
Sean, I'm not going to lie. This is not the sort of the observation that people normally say when they've had a daughter. Normally it's like, oh my God, I wake up and I have just this amazing sense of purpose and joy.
I don't think you do when you first have a kid. It's like, it's actually, you're keeping something alive, really.
My partner, Grace, has been amazing. And we had quite a tough...
Always bring it back to you.
Very difficult for me.
Always bring it back to you.
No, we arrived at the hospital and and it was a, what do you call it? Undiagnosed breech birth. Do you know what this is? Because I didn't.
Undiagnosed.
When it's breached, the baby's breached.
So
you know what breached means.
I know what breached means. What does breached mean?
I know what the word means, but not in a pregnancy sense. Does it when mean the head's popped out too soon.
No, wrong way round.
Oh, okay.
Wrong way round. But normally that's spotted sooner, right? Mm-hmm. And they could just handle it and go, well, we'll do this. But we arrive and it's she's in labour and it's like, no, that they've got it wrong. The head is the bum.
Feet first.
And so it's going to be feet first. I've seen quite possibly the most horrific. Hopefully will be the most horrific thing I've ever seen in my life, which is just a foot hanging out, an alive foot hanging out of my partner's vagine. Grace went, can you cover me with the blanket? And I went to cover her with the blanket, and I jumped back and I went, oh! And she went, you saw it, didn't you? And I went, no. I didn't see it. And it was just a foot. It was literally, look, just this little baby's foot. And it was moving.
He's going to be a QPR fan. He's doing kick-ups with his foot.
Just like that. She looked like a tripod. Like something from War of the Worlds. It was absolutely terrifying. Oh, by the way, I fainted. Do you know this? I fainted during the birth. No, it was even before the birth. And the thing is, I was absolutely fine. I was absolutely fine. I thought I wasn't anxious about the whole thing. I was totally calm. And Grace was getting the epidural, this nasty.
You gave yourself a little. I was absolutely
fine. Guessing there. But so, there's a nurse, midwife, whatever. And I thought, I'm totally, really calm. And that's not like me. Really calm. And just thought, that's weird. I feel like I'm going to faint. And I thought.
I love that. I'm feeling, in fact, very calm.
No, that is.
Okay, really calm. Too calm.
This is what happened, right? Look, genuinely, this is my inner monologue. So as you would hear it, if it was a film, right? That's weird. I feel like I'm going to faint. But you're not going to faint because you've got nothing to faint about. You feel absolutely fine. Yeah, probably a head rush. And that really does feel like I'm going to faint. Oh my God, I think I'm about to go. And I turned to the guy next to me, the nurse, and I went, sorry, do you mind if I... And he moved out of the way and I just fell.
Thank God he didn't grab hold of the foot.
The birth. Yeah. Birthed my child. But this is the crazy thing, right? I wake up on this sofa. Luckily, there was this kind of sponge beanbaggy sofa there, right? And I wake up and... nurse is overlooking me, going, "Are you okay?" And it looked like I had been born from my point of view because I was looking up.
Absolute narcissist.
Like this. Yeah, I know. Yeah. The nurse is going,
"Sorry, let's
okay?
make this about my birth."
Yeah. I've been born. She's like, "Are you okay?" And I went, "Yeah." And she went, "Would you like a cup of tea?" And I went, "Yes, please." And she walked away, and I just heard her go, "Men."
God, really?
Really what she did. Men.
I can't believe that.
John, I honestly, that image of the foot.
Yeah. It's too much.
And Grace, and the foot, saying, and Grace going, you saw it.
And me going, no. That is it. That is fine. It was absolutely moving. Like that. And blue, by the way, because it was like, it's like a Smurf. Strange colour. Yeah.
Smurf's foot. Oh, Sean, yeah. Honestly, dude, that is... hey, congrats.
Beautiful?
It is beautiful.
Really
stunning.
Beautiful.
It is. Stunning.
Congrats, man. That's amazing.
It's
freaking amazing.
It's really lovely spending more time in lifts. It's really nice. Have you not... Do you have a child? No.
I don't have one, no.
No, and no interest from that.
Not after this ordeal, apart from the rebirth.
But I think at some point I'm going to...
some stage.
Yeah. I think so. It's a huge commitment that I'm scared of, but
I don't think there's anything. It's really wonderful. But I mean, it's just at the moment, Grace is breastfeeding and I'm reading her Paddington. That's all I'm doing.
You've just written a show.
I've got, I'm on tour if there are people that want to come. It's called Back from the Bed. Amazing. It's very clever.
Mm. How many dates are you doing?
I don't know, a lot.
A lot.
There's one at Hackney Empire as well, because the London date sold out, and then there's another one at Hackney Empire.
That's amazing.
So please. Yeah, it's really wonderful. It's really wonderful. Very grateful. Mm. And so that's why, I need to just to go back to say that when I said, like, I could have been huge, that I am very happy with the way things are going. Please don't misquote
please,
me.
Please don't cancel me.
Yeah. But yeah, don't cancel that's me again.
Sean, I want to say a huge thank you for coming. Just you just had a baby. You're going on tour, all these different things.
Thank you.
She's been so kind.
Oh, by the way, I have a podcast as well.
Yeah, let's plug
sorry,
in.
Can I?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to mention
two,
it.
I have two.
Give it. Plug
if you
them.
Want to hear me really moan, I've got one with my good friend Paul McCaffrey called What's Upsetting You Now. Please come on.
Oh, we would love to.
It's only
love
20 to. Minutes on Zoom. And just
we'll leave the links in the description below.
All
as
of
well.
That stuff. And then one with Jack D, my comedy hero
yeah.
that I do called Oh My Dog, if you're a dog lover. Then check
Jack D is
national treasure.
Oh my God. Oh my God, he's genius. Go and check out those podcasts. Go and check out Sean's Instagram. Go and get his tickets to his show as well. 100%. Sean, thank you so much
thank
for
you
coming
so much.
On. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate being here. Thank you.
Everybody, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Oh my God. Sorry.
Another great episode.
I thought it was good. We covered a lot.
Covered a huge amount. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Remember, we are on all socials, TikTok, Instagram, at Private Podcast. We're also on YouTube. You go and check us out there. Also, remember our private moments, those little snippets of golden nuggets that maybe from old episodes that you haven't listened to. They're on our Monday. And also, we have our bonus episodes on Wednesday. Go and listen to all of those. Sending you love. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Sean. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.